Green Divas and Dudes are all about creating and supporting a healthy and earth-friendly economy. Listen to this segment to learn about one of our favorite Green Divas or Dudes in business, doing good for people and planet. All right, this is a really cool segment here, and I mean like excessively cool. I personally am ashamed to say that I have never been to Bonnaroo. Yes, you may all, you know, hate me now, but I want to go, and I will one of these days. And I'm really excited to speak to Laura Son. You know, I didn't even ask you how to pronounce your name. I usually do. Would you pronounce your name for me?
That you got it right.
I did? Oh,
yeah.
I'm so shocked. She is the director of Bonnaroo Sustainability, and I recently got sent their report from last year's show, and I was pretty darned impressed with, because if you know anything about a rock and roll festival, you know that there's, you know, a lot of consumption, a lot of things going on, and in order to lower that carbon impact, it's a lot of work. So I think it's pretty amazing what she's done. And let's say hi to Laura and hear a little bit. Let's just first tell people what Bonnaroo is, because maybe there's a few, you know, people like me who haven't been. I mean, I know about it, but I just haven't gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Bonnaroo is a music and arts festival that takes place in Manchester, Tennessee. And we have about 80,000 people that come every year. It's a primarily camping festival, and this will be our 15th year of having the show. Yeah.
I can't believe that. I mean, I really just can't. Time is whizzing by here. And mm-hmm. and y'all really attract some wonderful, you know, the top artists. You know, want to talk about maybe, you know, who was there last year and who's expected, some of the, drop some names.
Yes. This year we'll have Pearl Jam, Dead & Company, and LCD Sound System. In the past, we've had everyone from Elton John, Paul McCartney, Jay-Z, The White Stripes, Wilco.
Wow. Wow.
So there are five stages, and we have about 150 bands each year. And we get fans that come from all 50 states and a number of countries as well.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah.
It's a party. It's a musical party. And how on earth do you take care of 80,000 people?
Well, we have an incredible, incredible staff that a lot of them actually came out of the Grateful Dead and Fish Festival world.
Yep.
And have been with Bonnaroo since the beginning. And so coming out of that sort of value system of the Grateful Dead and Fish, I'm really lucky to be able to work with department heads and managers that have these kind of sustainable decision making ingrained in their mindset and how they work and how they function. So it's an incredible team effort to do what we do, from the recycling and composting all the way down to the farm-to-table dinner that we have. So
yeah.
It's a great work that encompasses all areas of the festival.
Okay, so for instance, I read in the report that last year there was something like 29,183 pounds of food. Was that part of the
mm-hmm.
food recovery thing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that was food that was, you know, not thrown away initially, right?
Correct.
And there's only four volunteers that managed all that?
That's right. So this is one of my favorite programs, actually, because it is so small and it has a really huge impact. So the festival, it takes place in a rural part of Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and a food bank approached us about 4 years ago, and they wanted to, you know, start recovering food to have at their food bank. And so over time, we've expanded the program, and we work with the vendors that are out in the festival area. And then we have three different backstage catering operations that they get their food daily from those operations. and take it to the food bank. And then they freeze and store and repackage within the kind of, you know, framework that they can with the health department, and redistribute that food to this, you know, not heavily populated area, so it has a really high impact that
wow.
we do that.
So now, I just happened, and we talked about this before we started recording, but I have some connection to folks that are in the kind of rock and roll festival food catering business, which, believe it or not, there is an industry. And I'm thinking to myself, so, you know, do all shows do this? Do all shows gather? You know, so it must be an extra component for those that are preparing food in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm actually not sure the answer to that question, if other shows do it. I know that within the music industry, you know, we all try to, you know, as I said earlier,
yeah.
make the most sustainable decisions we can. So I imagine that we're not unique in that. But I'm not sure 100%.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking to myself that if I were, you know, catering a gig like that, that'd be a little extra work, because, you know, you got to find a way to corral and package up that food for, you know, future consumption of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we work with them to make it as easy as possible, obviously. But yeah, luckily the companies we work with are on board to support the work. And then the food vendors, you know, they like to lead with as little possible. So it helps them out to sort of lighten their load as they're leaving site.
Sure. So you also, it looks like you work also pretty hard to make sure that you're sourcing most of the food locally. There are some very large numbers of you know, pounds or millions of pounds or whatever of food that was brought in from local sources.
We try to work with our food vendors to get them, yeah, to source as much as possible regionally. It's, you know, it's another decision that helps their bottom line, but it's also the sustainable one to make, which, as this kind of work has become more mainstream, it helps us steer people to make the right decisions when it helps, you know, it's cheaper for them to not have to carry it in. So we provide them with a list of purveyors and farmers within the area. And then we do focus a series of dinners in particular where everything we serve is sourced within a 200-mile radius of
nice.
The site.
Wow. Yeah. Which is not always so easy to do, you know.
It's not everywhere. We're lucky in Tennessee, though, I like to say, because we have wonderful growers and producers, from buttermilk to bacon to, you know, vegetables. So we're pretty lucky.
So what are the big challenges that you're facing now? Have they changed over the years that you've been there working on this?
Well, I think, you know, general education that our patrons come to site with has changed for the better. We don't have to have someone standing
right
at their recycling bins telling them where to put things. They sort of know that already. But the biggest challenge remains, as you said in the opening, the whole festival is consumption, consumption, consumption.
Right, right.
So, you know, We do as much as we possibly can, and I always tell people, you know, within the framework that it's still a music and arts festival, and we want people to have fun and enjoy themselves, because, you know, part of the glory of the festival is losing yourself for a few days and just really being present and embracing what's happening.
Right.
So, you know, we incorporate it as seamlessly as we can. One of the programs we started a few years ago that people have been very receptive to is providing a stainless steel reusable beer cup. So
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so you buy the cup, you get $1 off all your refills. So there's a little bit of an incentive. And then, you know, it's also nice to not be drinking beer from a plastic cup,
exactly.
At least personally. So, you know, that's a program that betters the fans' experience, makes it a better experience, and also helps us out. You know, the numbers are large. I think we're up to, you know, 60,000 beer cups being diverted, you know, from our, and so those are diverted from our compost pile, but it's still waste that's just not happening, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. So now your numbers, there are some amazing kind of totals in there. How different is it year to year? Is there a sort of a trajectory, and what do you anticipate going on this year? What's new this year?
Yeah, we, you know, we tend to, things do tend to increase a little bit every year. And I guess, you know, what we're lucky that we have so many people, our numbers get to be huge.
So right, they're impressive.
I think it's, yeah. And I think it is in line, though, like if we, you know, we're a 20,000 person festival, we would still be doing, you know, the proportional numbers.
Yeah.
And, you know, new for this year, we've added a experimental farm-to-table dinner where we're going to create Bonnaroo's longest salad. So we're going to have a very long, long salad and people standing around sort of creating their own dinner, so to speak, with all local vegetables.
Yeah, that made me hungry. I read about that, and I was like, oh, that's making me want to go make a salad right now.
Yeah, and we work with Oxfam, which is an international poverty group, and then Eat for Equity, which does these kinds of grassroots dinners around the country in different communities to give people access to better food. So that'll be one of the new things. There'll be a lot of sort of just expanding and growing our current programs this year as well.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about this year. I don't think I'll be there this year, but we're gonna lobby hard to get me down there for the next one for sure.
You should definitely be there. It is a sight to behold.
Well,
every year.
When is it this year?
The festival is June 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th this year. And there are definitely still tickets available. And it's a really incredible experience for everyone to have.
So how can people find out more?
Just go to Bonnaroo.com and all the information's there. There are a number of ways to experience the festival, and all of them are phenomenal.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time out to speak with us today. And keep up the good work. We'll talk again.
Thank you. Thanks for taking time for us as well.
To learn more about this Green Divas and Dudes in Business segment and find even more about low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green, please visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.